Welcome to the Hyper Voice, episode 70. This is a show all about Pokemon's video game championship series. I am your host, Steven Morioka, and I am here with Alex Underhill.
Galar.
Oh boy, Alex, it is time. You know, we've all explored a little bit in the Galar region. How's that going for you so far?
I'm pretty excited to have a little bit of a chin wag here with you, Steven.
Oh, very nice. So we're going to talk a lot of, well, not a lot, but Sword and Shield stuff later. I don't know how you would quantify that, actually. But just to, for everyone's sake, so that you know what's going on, is that, you know, we are a week late after the LAIC ended, and we missed a week of putting a show out there. And plain and simple, we just were unable to do that last week. So we're back here now, and we're going to get back to things the way they were going in normally. So we're going to talk about the LAIC, of course, go over some of those results for Ultra Series, some of the last remaining events, just plug those real quick. And then we're going to move into some Sword and Shield discussion. It's going to be very non-spoiler, very much no spoiler, because I have not completed the game yet, and I do not want to know things that would, you know, ruin my, you know, fun of finishing the game that way.
Yeah, so to be fair, there's going to be like some light things just to like give a quick brief preview. There, you know, we might talk about a Pokemon that had like a nerfed stats. We might talk about some old ability being updated, multiple abilities being updated, as well as some new mechanics. So if there are any of those things that you don't want to learn about yet, just make sure that when we get to the Sword and Steel discussion, maybe turn it off there and come back later. But those are just the things that we'll be talking about. So hopefully I kept it general enough for those that do still care about keeping those things secret for the time being. But that's basically what we're going to be talking about for Sword and Shield, as well as our impressions on what we have completed so far.
Yeah, without spoilers, of course. And
yes.
So let's just jump right into things, and we'll announce when we head to that Sword and Shield stuff. But let's head into some feedback we got from an email from our email, vgchypervoice@gmail.com. And we also have a question tied into this as well. So let's just read this off first. And this comes from Rob, who says, just found the show today. And this would have been a few weeks ago, I want to say now. So it says, just found the show today, and I was only able to listen to episode 68, but I really enjoyed listening to both of you talk about the Megas. Because I just started listening, I'm not sure how the upcoming release will be like for the show. What type of episodes will be coming up? Some team preview type episodes, or what metas to expect type themes? Great show, guys, and I look forward to listening more. Best wishes, Rob. So, Alex, I just want to be honest, I'm kind of glad we don't have to talk about Megas in detail anymore, because that, boy, that'd take a long time.
We could have had maybe a little bit more in-depth if we wanted to. We really could have just dived all the way in. But yeah, Steven and I actually haven't personally fully in-depth gone over what like our plan is for Sword and Shield exactly, like what the coming weeks will be. We kind of just, you know, think about what the next week's event load, because there's always news and events that come up, and we decide how much is that gonna take up, and then do we need to put in other things. But I know some things that we'll be going forward talking about is obviously Sword and Shield. We're gonna be talking probably in each episode about just something new that has been introduced in the game, whether it's a new Pokemon, new moves, new probably metagame, what the metagame's looking like, and just all kinds of like fun stuff like that. Just what VGC is going to be looking like going forward, and looking at like new egg moves and what have you. So that's probably like types of things that we'll be talking about, besides just sticking to our usual covering the latest live events, as well as maybe some interesting online ones as we go through the rest of Ultra Series, but still, have Sword and Shield in hand. And then, also talk about other things that, the Pokemon company might announce.
Yeah, Alex pretty much summed it up pretty well there. And one of my biggest pet peeves about just doing content in general, especially for our competitive stuff, for anybody, is that the thing about making empty promises. So I always hate saying we're going to do something or someone's going to do something and then that never happens. So one of the things, I always try to avoid is I try to do this as little as possible of saying like, oh, we're going to do this next time, or we're going to cover this next time, or we're going to make sure to do this next time. So, I've definitely been guilty of that in the past, and, always try to catch myself doing that, but it's just always that problem of the empty promise. So I try to avoid that. But Rob, like you're saying, we're probably gonna have team preview stuff, metagame stuff, all kind of stuff about the new mechanics, the new Pokemon, of course. I guess like all sorts of stuff, but nothing too specific because honestly, we don't have those plans yet.
We like to keep it fresh. We like to keep it a little bit on, like, keep you on the edge of your seat because you never know what's coming because we don't either.
at least you can count on the show being loud because of the show's title. But Rob, thanks so much for the questions in there as well as the feedback about the show. We hope you stick with it. I know that was probably your first episode you listened to. So thanks for listening, and we hope you kind of keep chugging along with us here as we go along. But Alex, I think I'm ready to move on to the most recent international we had. And so this was the first international of the 2020 season. A lot of things to say about this. The last international of the Ultra series, as well as the last international on the Nintendo 3DS DS family, and the end of the first quarter of that qualification for Travel Awards. That new Travel Award period, that quarter, that qualification period has begun. This is going towards the Europe International right now.
Yes, and so that's where we're at now. But this was, like a lot of the players that had earned Travel Awards had, made their way out to this tournament. Lots of players from all over the world. We actually saw that probably made up a good portion of the tournament, considering that we reached just about 100 people, which I believe is still small, even by LAIC standards. I don't remember exactly how large the last two or three or however many we're at this point have been attendance-wise, but they ended up with just short of 100 players and 93 total masters. And yeah, then we saw your typical top eight cut. I'm seeing an asterisk. Why is there an asterisk, Steven?
I was going to ask you that. Here. Do you know? I was going to ask you what happened there. I'm assuming some kind of a disqualification for like team sheet error or something, or was it worse?
Yeah, it could have been. Yeah, some kind of hack check. Who knows? And it seems like six. Oh, they did bump down the placings already. So yeah, there's a gap there in the placements.
We can definitely still talk about that team. I don't know the details of what happened, so we're not going to like dive into that or anything, but this would now that I'm thinking about it, this would be like is this the third or fourth LAIC? So the big question I have here, and I guess we should point this out, is that our international champion for this one is James Beck from the United States, who ended up defeating Javier Valdez from Chile, I believe that flag is. Yeah, that's where he's from. And read this article written by Marcus Stotter on the Pokemon website. I did not get a chance to actually watch the finals or any of the tournament for that matter. So I'm just basing this off of the team results, which we are looking at on VictoryRoadVGC.com, which has been a great new website for all these different results and stuff. But I think they pointed out that a Latin American player has not won the LAIC yet in the Masters division.
To be fair, that's because an American player has won it every time.
So it's been Ashton in 2017. 2018 was who?
Carson.
Is Carson? Okay.
Carson Confer, and then once again bounced right back to Ashton
for the 2019 season format, and then 2020 would be James Beck. Okay, nice.
Yeah, and I honestly was that not James Beck in the finals of the 2019 LAIC?
Yes, it was. That's right. So
he came back and took the title this time. Kind of a crazy story for him, just not just there in general, but just overall in the restricted format, the 2019 format that you would say as a whole. Obviously, they were playing a different format back then, so different that it's a different game because you don't have those, everything unlocked with the Megas and Z moves and what have you. But James has shown that he has just had one of the most incredible seasons in VGC history this past year or a little bit longer, with all the number of finishes he's achieved, several regional wins, I believe, as well as just lots of top finishes at the internets and a great Worlds finish. This time, you know, doing it with a team that has been kind of on the up and coming for Ultra Series, in that it's got Groudon, Krazma Dawnwings, Mega Salamence, Tapu Lele, Stakataka, and this time a Selgor. We saw Paulchua, you know, nearly win, and then we saw Nils win with these teams, quote-unquote, Psy Spam, using Tapu Lele, Necrozma in some form, and then a Groudon, as well as, you know, I think the Stakataka and Ments are usually there too. It's really just that last slot that kind of fluctuates, but this Psy Spam has just been kind of tearing up the postseason, if you will, in a number of different tournaments, in fact, and it's crazy, like, interesting to see James kind of take it all in the end over Javier, who, if you asked me to put money on this tournament beforehand, I would have put money down on Javier, and when he made it into finals, I thought he was a shoo-in. Everybody that I was talking to was saying that he's got it, you know, he's got a Scarf Lunala, he's got a Mandibuzz, these Pokemon are just so annoying for the Psy Spam. But James, you know, he had some very interesting techs on his team. The Acelgor was very important in the finals matchup, from what I hear. And I believe he won it 2-0.
Yeah, that sounds correct. You know, James, just on the surface level, looking at these six Pokemon, looks like he's got a lot of options for speed control, obviously a lot of damage output. And, you know, especially that unique pick in the Acelgor there. So otherwise, you know, it's pretty standard looking team. You know, pretty standard looking Psy Spam team. Something we would have seen before when Ultra Series started.
Yeah, and then obviously the opposite of conventional is Javier Valdez, though you might not say unconventional for himself, because these are Pokemon that have been kind of carrying him through the season. He's been mostly using Rayquaza with Xerneas, but this time he has swapped it in for that Lunala that I had mentioned. He's holding the Choice Scarf. He's got a Mega Metagross, a Tapu Fini, a Togedemaru, and a Mandibuzz. At times, he ran Seismitoad, Gastrodon, all kinds of different Pokemon over that, like, Togedemaru. And then, as I mentioned, the Xerneas. But he's always had this, like, just wild, wild team that I think I kind of talked about this when he had won that recent special event. But not a lot of people just can get a grasp on it. It's almost like when you talk about a player like Jamie Boyt, where, you know, that he's done so well with always these unconventional, very strange teams, yet nobody else seems to quite get a grasp on them. They don't end up, you know, ever taking over the meta, because not everybody else can play them like him. And Javier just really has it with this kind of strange archetype that he has built himself, and is really the only one to make it shine. But I think that's kind of what gives him an edge, and it's really cool to see it bring him all the way here to second, nearly defending his region. I was almost certain, but the power of America in Latin America is too strong.
Yeah, so I believe we're going to get another shot for the LAIC next season for 2021. Oh my gosh. Because I'm pretty sure in that article they mentioned that the LAIC will be coming back or something like that. I might be wrong about that. But I don't really see the system changing too much. Maybe it will, but maybe next time, right? So, you know, it's really neat. It's really interesting you pointed out the Jamie Boyd and Javier, you know, kind of building their own teams, their own, like, specific, these Pokemon they have on them for those teams. And, like, they're really the only ones that can pilot them like this. And, you know, that makes a lot of sense, because every person's brain is different. Everyone thinks differently in how they approach the game. No matter how you approach team building and working with a group, ultimately it's going to come down to you as a player. And you're the one who has to make those decisions. And if you're the one who, you know, made a lot of those in the team building stage, once you get to battle, like, you know, what is going to work, what's not going to work, what options you have in any of these given situations. So, you know, very bright mind in the game. And I just, gosh, like, my big concern is, like, are all these players going to be able to convert this skill easily to the new Sword and Shield metagame coming up in the future? That's all I want to say about that. Why don't we go ahead and cover the rest of the top cut teams, and if anything, like, fancy stands out to you in the top 16, because the top 16 did end up getting championship points, but I believe, like you said, we only had a top 8 cut for this tournament here.
Now, I'll be honest, Steven, nothing really fancies me in Ultra Series anymore. I won't lie, we are going to be drudging through this as Sword and Shield is out, and that is all my mind can focus on. But I will kind of just, as I go through, I'm going to just quick list out the remaining ones and just talk about what I do know about the tournament, since I did follow it and watch it live. It was going on during the release of Sword and Shield, but I did have the stream going on. I just wasn't able to catch finals. Eric Rios was using a team that he's actually used a couple of times this season, that Groudon Xerneas Parish team with Mega Gengar, Tapu Fini, Incineroar, and Landorus Therian, which, as I had mentioned, is just a Groudon Xerneas Parish variant. At least I believe he has Parish on it. And he ended up losing to Javier in the top four. Juan Salerno is just using another Psy Spam team. It's actually only one different than James Bex, with a Jumpluff over that Acelgor. But I'll just repeat it really quick, just for anybody that does not remember. It's Groudon, Necrozma, Dawnwings, Mega Salamence, Tapu Lele, Stekateka, and Jumpluff. And yeah, that guaranteed that a Psy Spam quote-unquote team would make it to the finals. In fifth place, we have Jeremy Rodriguez with a Xerneas Lunala team, very reminiscent of what Ashton and Jeremy were using in this tournament last year, in the Sun Series. They had a Xerneas Lunala, Mega Kangaskhan, Incineroar, Smeargle, and Crobat. Now, I believe back then they had Amoongus over Smeargle, and then Toxicroak was, you know, their other fake out Pokemon, replacing the Mega Kangaskhan, because obviously Megas were not legal then. But I can't remember exactly if there was a Smeargle or not. Part of me wants to say that it was an Amoongus, though. But a similar team, similar archetype, you know, that Xerneas hasn't changed a ton over the... It hasn't. You know, there have been very different archetypes. There have been some that are very same across all formats that we experienced in the 2019 season. Running down, though, as you guys listen to me drone on and on, Jean-Paul Lopez finished in the top eight as well, with a X-Ray team, a Xerneas Rayquaza, Tapu Koko, Incineroar, Gengar, listed as non-Mega, which I have to imagine might be a Focus Sash then, and then Amoongus. No idea for sure, but yeah, just an X-Ray team. We don't see a ton of X-Ray anymore, but it is still something that exists. Francisco Lego Marcino. In the disqualified place here, but we'll just run through his team really quick. In Kyogre, Yveltal, Mega Gengar, Incineroar, Togedemaru, and Celesteela. Looks like a pretty typical, I have a lot of electric weak Pokemon, let me slap on a Lightning Rod, as well as that kind of a trap aspect. You know, and Gengar enjoys Fake Out, and there are two Pokemon there with Fake Out. Cesar Reyes in the top eight as well, with a Xerneas Lunala team, similar-ish, but instead we have Xerneas Lunala, Mega Kangaskhan, Incineroar, Amoongus, and Tapu Koko, and yeah, we just got a different Spore Pokemon and a different 130 base speed Pokemon, which definitely makes them play very differently, but, you know, not much different to say here for me. Lastly, we have Xerneas Rayquaza, Mega Kangaskhan, Tapu Fini, Incineroar, and Amoongus. This is Yuya Tada was the 8th place finisher, though I'm not sure if he got to play in Top 8. Again, Steven and I aren't sure exactly what happened with the disqualification, but we don't want to make any assumptions, you know. We'll just leave that to you guys if you do want to do your own research.
I presume like he wasn't in the top cut, and this would have been post post bracket that this all happened, so, or like post post start of the bracket on that second day or whatever they did. So like the standings would have trickled down past Francisco there. And I don't think Yuya probably would have had a chance to play in bracket.
That is usually the case in what we see. And so, unless they caught this super early, which I don't think they did, because I feel like I would have heard more about it. Anyway, the only really interesting thing to say about this Xerneas Rayquaza team is that there is a Mega Kangaskhan on it, which you don't often see Kangaskhan paired with Rayquaza. But when I watched this player play, it honestly was confusing my brain, because they would go with this Xerneas Kangaskhan Incineroar Amoongus mode, and then I was like, well, surely this is a Xerneas team or a Kang Torn team, since they often run these four set of Pokemon. And then team preview showed up for game two, and there was a Rayquaza, and I was baffled. I was like, wow, I mean, You can do that. You can, you know, just take a part of Kang Torn that you really enjoy and ignore the rest and then make your other restricted or Rayquaza. I think that's kind of fun.
Yes, yes it is. And, you know, with this now, I guess, removal of Francisco from, you know, the official standings and everything, that means that the entire top cut, I guess, technically does not really have a Kyogre in it. So, kind of understandable in terms of, like, how Kyogre has kind of been slowly vanishing from top placements in Ultra Series. Not like top placements, but just like overall significance, if you know what I mean. Outside of like Rayquaza Kyogre teams.
Hey man, I might have tried to delete all memory of Ultra Series from my brain already, even though I didn't hate the format. I may have completely wiped it from my brain, but I do remember that I was a Rayogre player at the end, so I don't know what these people are doing. I think it's still something worth considering. And yeah, there was only one other Kyogre in the top 16, so very much not a Kyogre favorite tournament. Or who knows, with the number of players, maybe people didn't even bother chancing it. Maybe it's a result of people just trying out other things or other Pokemon are more interesting at the time.
I wonder really if it's the time in the metagame or whether it's mostly been just player specific that most of these people weren't feeling it for this tournament and just didn't think Kyogre was a strong pick for this one.
Yeah. Yep. I can agree with that. And so we'll have to see how Kyogre does at the remaining events. I do know that there are two more Ultra Series majors before we can finally say goodbye to this format for good, as we do with all VGC formats. We, you know, kick them to the curb forever and then just forget about them and never talk about them ever again, of course.
Yeah, I mean, no. we kind of send them away, and they never make a reappearance in like actual competitive play. It'd be cool if they could somehow implement some sort of like decade.
It's kind of tragic. It is always tragic because, you know, there are formats that I like, or there are at least parts of formats that I like, but, you know, you never get to go back.
Some of them in the past have been really good ones. Like, it'd be cool if they did, I don't know how they would do this, but if they did some sort of like generational tournament, like the Decades throwback tournament. I don't know. You just have every format viable in a,
I think,
able
this,
to play somehow.
I think what we should start doing is like at every Worlds, just get rid of the Open and start hosting like an Open, you know, maybe still for cash, but like not for CP or anything, and just do it in a format that's like, you know, 10 years back or something like this, because we've got about 10 years of VGC now. But, you know, stuff like that, just to, even if it doesn't get a lot of people, it'd be kind of fun, especially because it might give new players a chance to try an old format.
Yeah, and we legitimately do have 10 years of official competitive Pokemon in the books now, so it is something we could do, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's my idea.
I mean, I'd be down to try it. I'd like to see if they would ever do that. You know, everyone knows how I feel about the Opens. I don't like them, so let's change that to something else.
Before we move on, though, I do want to make sure, just so that we don't miss this, the Ultra Series majors, just because I did want to say this about them, I did see today that Daytona Beach, Florida, which is this coming weekend as we are recording this, it should be happening like Thanksgiving weekend, has 19 people registered, 19 Masters.
Yeah, I also did see that post earlier today, and that's really baffling and kind of disappointing, but also understandable given the time we're in.
That was what I was going to get to.
So lot of factors playing into this. Like the you know, this big international just finished up for the Ultra Series. There are only two like big majors in North America left in it. So this is the one in Florida coming up this upcoming weekend, Thanksgiving weekend. So to holiday weekend. So it's going to make travel very chaotic and stressful. As well as, you know, this, again, like you're just saying, we throw away formats. This is the end of the format, too. And everyone's, Sword and Shield's also out, so everyone's ready to move on.
Yeah, and one last thing I will say about Ultra before we move away from it is it's just very interesting for me to think that I have played my last VGC game on the 3DS, as I don't imagine I'll be attending any locals in the foreseeable future until the new format drops. And yeah, like, I just don't realize that, you know, I clicked my last move on a 3DS, I played my last game, you know, all these kind of different things. It's just so interesting to think that I have completely moved on from it. And so many others have, too.
Yeah, it's a lot of, like, sentimental baloney, to be honest. Like, it was the last time I pressed a button on my little 3DS. Like, I understand it's meaningful, but in the moment, is it really that significant? I don't think it is. That's coming from an old timer like me.
No, I get you. I'm just saying, what I'm trying to say, Steven, is that, like, not a lot of people aren't even realizing that the end has passed them. You know, we're already just so focused on the future, which is great. It's so great. And it's just like, wow, the 3DS is gone. I'm going to put it on a shelf and it's going to collect some dust.
I know, just like all the other old systems, put in a box, shoebox, stored away somewhere. You'll go back and look at them at some point. But yeah, you mentioned the Florida regional this upcoming weekend, and then we have the last one in North America, at least. I don't know if there's more around the world. For in San Diego, California, in the actually the week right after that, so the first weekend in December.
So, Steven, please take us away. Take us forward into Galar and take us away from Ultra Series.
You got it. Here we go, everyone. So we're going to start talking about Sword and Shield. So we're going to give you maybe like a few seconds here to kind of move away from this. Again, no spoilers, so there won't be any talk about really new Pokemon, new abilities, any of that stuff for the most part. It's all updates to old Pokemon, old abilities, and very, very small things like that. So in about 3, 2, 1... All right, let's do it. Let's talk about some Sword and Shield stuff. So we're now in Galar. You know, we took our train over to the new region based on the United Kingdom. And boy, just as in general, before we get into talking to any of the like competitive stuff, it's just this this game. And you know, I kind of criticized the graphics when it first like revealed back in February or something. Like, this looks really nice on the Switch, like handheld or on TV.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm loving that aspect too, that I can just like, I don't know, if I have to get up and like just go to the kitchen to grab a snack, I can just pick it up and keep playing Pokemon. Oh, it's so good, and it looks good on both. I'm loving just everything about having a Pokemon game on the Switch. I can play on the TV like with a controller in my hands and then just pick it up and play like the old 3DS days. It's so cool.
Yeah, I absolutely love that aspect, you know, just being able to move between back and forth. You know, that's been the whole concept for the Switch in the first place. But I really like the region. I like how, and this has been shown in previous official trailers already, but we have Pokemon in the overworld as well as random encounters, and that's really cool. Like, it's so nice. Like, when Let's Go first introduced this concept, you know, everyone loved that, and that's something I'm really glad they carried over from that series into these official main games.
Yeah, and so two of the things that have already been, you know, kind of talked about in the trailers, so I hope that it's not spoiling it for anybody, but just the wild area and raids, I think, are, along with those overworld Pokemon, are some of the best things to happen to Pokemon in a series in general, from my experience with them. The games are just honestly fun. Like, I'm having so much fun playing through it. The games flowed really well. I was having fun just catching things constantly and constantly. I knew going into it that I would want to, like, complete the Pokedex afterwards, so I was just, you know, catching everything I saw, and it was such a good time.
Okay, I don't know how you felt about this, but when I was going through the game here, and I'm not finished with it yet, I'm almost at the end, but when I was going through the game, like through my run through, like catching stuff, that was really hard. Like, none of these Pokemon wanted to stay in the ball.
It really depends, because I think what happens is, I think they changed the damage, not the damage, the Pokeball catching formula or something.
I thought so.
To include a bit more of a level aspect to it. Because I remember there was a Pokemon that was one level higher than my team in the wild area. And so I could have just trained my team up to surpass it, but I was stubborn and I had already gotten it down to low HP. And so I wanted to catch it, and it was just a little base form Pokemon that took me like 20 plus Pokeballs, and I was like, what is going on?
Yeah, I definitely feel you there. I was definitely getting really frustrated with that, and I think I did catch on to that and notice that, mainly because earlier in the game when I was lower level, you know, some of these Pokemon to catch, you know, took several Pokeballs, and then I come back later catching the same kind of level stuff, you know, that lower level stuff. It was just super easy. And I was like, I don't understand. What is going on here? Like, it was so hard when I first walked through here.
So I will say that I do really enjoy the EXP share. I think that I personally am not one of those players that enjoys the grinding aspect of Pokemon, at least in some respects. Like, if I'm playing the game and I want to add a new partner to my team, it's nice that, you know, like one of the, my favorite things is when the wild Pokemon are kept competitively leveled with the Pokemon that you're using on your team. I want them to be lower by like a couple of levels, but like the game kept them within like 2 to 3, it felt like, almost always. And that was really just great because, you know, if you see a new Pokemon, you're like, that guy's going on my team. In old games, like HeartGold, SoulSilver, or Ruby, Sapphire, it felt like I'm going to have to set aside 30 minutes to an hour training this Pokemon in the grass. And sometimes they might not have any good moves to, you know, beat the Pokemon in that grass just to catch them up to your team. And this is just so great that, you know, at any point you can just not, you don't even have to stop. You know, you can just use any Pokemon. And like something else that I was doing was, I'm a person that, you know, evolves every Pokemon, whether I like, you know, the middle form or not, whatever. And so like for the, some of the new guys, when I got it to like the middle form, I was like, okay, I'm liking it so far. I don't want to add it to my team yet, but what if the final form is cool? I'll just have it sit in my party, and then when it evolves, I can just decide, yeah, it's going on my team right now, or not. You know, I think that the EXP share did actually work out pretty well.
Yeah, I will echo that sentiment about the levels, is that I was kept pretty even with the both all the Pokemon in the wild, as well as the trainers I was playing against. And I was really, you know, happy and surprised by that, because, like, that kept the game, you know, somewhat challenging. And the other thing about some of the, like, just the team I was carrying with me is I set out going into this game knowing I'm going to make my team all Generation 8 Pokemon or Galarian forms. So, you know, pretty much all new stuff as my traveling team, right? So I did not use any of the old Pokemon during my actual playthrough. So this has been a very fun experience to do that. And something like I wish I had done this in Sun and Moon, because I actually didn't do this in Sun and Moon. I used like I think the only two new things I had were the Incineroar and Ribombee, and the other four were, like, old stuff. I had a Hariyama, Pelipper, Magnezone, and I guess the Alolan Muk counts as a new thing. But that was like my traveling team in Sun and Moon, and it was less fun because I had a lot of older Pokemon on there. But this has been very different and a very great experience. Something I actually picked up from my brother, who did do this in Gen 7.
Oh, wow. So I'm so surprised to hear this, Steven, because that is just the correct way to play new games. I'm glad that you've joined the winning team, you know, the right side of history, because this is how it's supposed to be done. I don't remember if I've been doing this for all of them, but it's so worth it, especially... I'm not going to try hard to win people over to team anti-spoilers, because I was honestly team mixed spoilers. I followed official trailers. I dipped in and out. If a friend spoiled something to me, I wasn't upset, because, you know, the game is still going to be full of surprises. One thing that was very fun for me was evolving these Pokemon that I was like, I don't know what the final form is going to be like. And I think I just kind of have to tip my hat to Pokemon in this sense, because... unlike the Sun and Moon pre-release, this cycle, they really didn't tease, they didn't, you know, release everything. And it was so great how many Pokemon there were that I could just be completely surprised by. So many Pokemon that I was like, I don't know what the final evolution of this looks like. Or so many Pokemon that I was like, just surprised that I would encounter in the wild. I'd be like, what is that? That did not show up in the trailers at all. This is so cool.
Yeah, it was one of the best feelings playing through the game, is just seeing something new for the first time, and you're just like, what on earth is this thing? This is amazing. I want to know what type, like, I didn't know what type things were or what they did. Were they physical attackers, special attackers? And even, like, evolving middle forms, there's a lot of those I did just on my team. I didn't even realize, oh my god, it's evolving? I thought this was it. I thought this was the last form. So that was just a great surprise to have. I'd even almost sometimes ruin that for myself just by scrolling through the Pokedex, just see like what else was around the thing, and I'd see like another question mark under some evolved Pokemon already, like in its middle form, and I was like, oh gosh, it must have another evolution here. Okay, that's cool.
Steven, it took me until like the 7th or 8th gym to remember that I could just do that. I have a bunch of friends who played way faster than me, and they were very kind about, you know, keeping spoilers away from me, but also spoiling what I needed. And so what I would do is I would be like, okay, you know, I just caught this weird Pokemon. How many times does it evolve, or does it have a weird evolution method? And, you know, they would just give me the answer on those, because those are things that I, like, could look up and get the answers. But once you start doing that, you might see what the form looks like. And that's honestly the most important thing to me. Like, you could tell me the name of the new Pokemon. You could tell me, like, you know, maybe, like, certain things like the type. But I just don't like, most importantly, I just want to know, what does the new thing look like? And I want to be surprised by it. I want to, you know, experience that on my own. But, you know, if a Pokemon evolves via, like, by having max happiness while knowing a fairy move during the day or something, I don't want to have to guess that on my own. I'm fine with, you know, looking that up.
Gotcha. And, you know, Wild Area was great. You know, I love being able to explore that. Wasn't exactly open world within there. Came close. There's still a lot of restrictions, but, you know, that was a really great addition to the game. I hope that was their experiment, that they're hoping to do this, you know, for the next iteration in the game and just make that the whole thing. I don't know if they do. Pokemon does want to do that, but I think the experiment was a big success.
I enjoyed the mix. I still like that they have the overworld Pokemon on routes and they still have routes in the game. However, steering away from the wild area, I did just want to kind of ask you, did you enjoy raids, at least from what you've experienced so far? Because I honestly was so surprised that they took this, like, very, you know, popular thing that took off in Go and made it really fun there, and it just plugged it into this game, the same formula, and it worked so well. Like, why was I surprised? But it's so much fun.
Yeah, I've been enjoying this. Like, I've mostly been just doing stuff on my own at the moment. Haven't, like, synced up with anyone online or anything, and I imagine that'll happen eventually or with other local players, but I've enjoyed it. Like, it's been fun to just use Dynamax in those raids, and I kind of work with, I guess, the computers, which is weird to say, but you kind of need to if you're doing it on your own, and it's still manageable with them. Like, they're still handy. They come and help. They're helpful. So I've actually very much enjoyed the raids and, like, all the loot drops they essentially give you, like prizes for successfully winning. That's been fun.
Yeah, it's great. I have just nothing but great things to say, so I'll try not to just say that everything is great. So why don't we move away from our opinions, where I'm just saying everything is great, and talk about other things that have been, you know, done to the game that is gonna, you know, maybe affect more of the VGC listeners, because I bet that, like, 75 to, like, maybe as high as 90% of you that are listening enjoy playing the Pokemon games, but there are probably some people who are just like, I just wanted to rush through the game so I could get straight to breeding my team and, you know, hopping on the ladder and playing the latest VGC rule set, which isn't totally, you know, announced or anything like that. We'll definitely talk about it on the show when it is, but let's talk about a bit more of the nitty gritty, not that casual stuff. So
yeah, let's do it. Kick us off here. I hope we didn't bore everyone.
Start us off. The first, like, the only stat nerf, there have actually been several stat nerfs in the past, and I think I was talking about this in some of the previous episodes leading up to Sword and Shield, and one thing I was excited for is, like, Pokemon got their stats changed. You know, like, Pelipper got a higher special attack when it came into Sun and Moon, on top of getting that new ability. As far as I could tell, I don't know if any Pokemon got any new abilities or not. I don't remember. I haven't looked up that enough, honestly, but one thing that did happen was several old abilities changed. But first, I know I'm jumping all around.
Really quick on that, on your new ability thing. I think they just gave neutralizing gas to coughing and glaring and wheezing and stuff. I think that's it.
Okay, so you do know the answer.
I think that's it, though.
It might actually be, like, it really might be, and that was something I was looking forward to. I was like, you know, what new Pokemon are gonna, or, like, what old Pokemon might get the terrain abilities, or, like,
the weathers,
you know, because they did the weathers, you know, in last gen, and that was such a great thing for those Pokemon. You know, what saving graces could they give to the Pokemon?
Yeah,
but they did that, honestly, they did that effectively in another way, and we'll get to that when we talk about the abilities. But first, we're talking about Aegislash. Aegislash's stats, he got nerfed. Poor guy. I don't know if he deserved all of these hits he got, because, honestly, I feel like Aegislash hasn't seen the light of day since maybe it was somewhat in 2018, but really it feels like since 2015 and 2014 he's been, like, prevalent.
My, that's been quite a long time now. But, you know, to be specific about the nerfs here, it's the, specifically when Aegislash is in its shield and blade forms. So, as we all know, if you're a stellar player with Aegislash and you play your Aegislash correctly, you can essentially have base 150 stats across your attack, defense, special attack, and special defense in those forms. Now, anytime your stat is supposed to be, you know, the typical what you expect, 150, that has been knocked down to 140. So in shield form, your defense and special defense instead of being at 150 are now at 140, and same goes for your blade form for your attack and special attack. They're going to be at 140 instead of 150. So 10 base points, you know, doesn't seem like much, but this is like all across the board for Aegislash. How impactful do you think that's going to be?
Honestly, I didn't think that was the biggest thing. It would have been interesting to see just because Aegislash would have been one of the hardest hitting Pokemon in the format. Now I think it's falling slightly behind some of the other ones. It definitely affects his offensive output. Defensively, I think it's still going to be just pretty tanky and good at doing what it does. Moving on, though, to the next change, which I also don't think was drastic, but still a nerf nonetheless. King Shield used to drop your attack harshly or by two stages, and now it only drops them by one stage when you attack into it with a physical contact move. I guess maybe a special contact move. I wonder, I think Grass Knot probably activated it. I think it was just contact moves in general.
Yeah, if the move just made contact with, you know, that shield, then you would drop that stat. So, this really, this affects Aegislash's bulk as well as the, how well your partner Pokemon will be able to take damage from the opponents whose stage dropped, by one instead of two now. So, these seem like small changes, but I don't know if we've seen the full effects of them yet. Cause we all know how prevalent Aegislash has been in the past. And, you know, something like this could be significant enough to kind of knock it out of any sort of prominence. Kind of like when Talonflame's Gale Wings kind of like got booped, like, way hard.
Yeah, when they clipped Talonflame's wings.
Pretty much, yeah.
So, I do think it's fun to point out, though, that, like, for example, Bisharp in the seasons that Aegislash was big, it would just attack into the King Shield, and Defiant would just raise its attack right back up to neutral. However, now those Defiant Pokemon could attack into Aegislash freely, knowing that if it does not work out, they actually will get a boost. That minus one now means that it does not negate Defiant entirely, and now they will end up at plus one and can just kind of chain infinite boosts if they keep attacking into a King Shield from Aegislash. Eventually, that Aegislash is going to go down to some of these boosted attacks.
Yeah, I mean, just given the stats and the ability and just the effect of King Shield, you know, that was kind of an overpowered Pokemon, so they nerfed what they felt was appropriate here. And I just don't know how impactful this is going to be yet. So just time will tell, give it a few months, and we'll see what sort of what this will actually do for Aegislash here.
Now, from what we do know about the Dynamax and the max moves is that any move that is a non-attacking, non-damaging move will transform into Max Guard, a kind of bigger, safer version of Protect, and it, you know, defends you against opposing max moves and what have you. However, Aegislash never runs Protect because its safest way to protect itself is using that King Shield ability. It prevents damage. It does not stop status moves, but it does change its form. And that is kind of how Aegislash is able to use those incredibly high offense stats as well as the defense stats. However, Aegislash, when it Dynamaxes, is essentially, once you Dynamax, you cannot go back. So once it starts attacking in that Dynamax form, it will still be able to, you know, use these strong max moves and, you know, come off of that strong offensive stat. But Max Guard will not change it back to the defensive form. And so if you, you know, were to say to attack again and your opponent went for Sucker Punch, you are taking the Sucker Punch damage on your weaker defenses when you are in that blade form, as opposed to, you know, getting hit by a Sucker Punch in shield form, eating the hit, and then dealing your damage.
Yeah, that pretty much sums up Aegislash there. So, you know, a lot of things not going for it to start. You know, I still think it'll find its place on some teams. People are still going to use it because those are still very decent stats, and Aegislash has a really nice move pool to go along with it. So you can run it on the physical or special side. So I think it'll still see some play. Just how much and how strong it will be, time will tell. Now, I wanted to move on to some of the updated older abilities we've had. And I kind of want to just go through this quickly because we can't really talk about any specific Pokemon at the moment who may have this, because honestly, I just don't know what's in the full Pokedex yet for the full Galar decks, as well as the new Pokemon that get these things. But some of the biggest changes here, and actually one we know is an Alex favorite here, is Mimikyu in disguise.
My boy.
I know. And, well, so disguise still works as it did before. You know, you get to... you have to damage it to break the disguise in the first place, but when that happens, you lose an eighth of your health when that disguise breaks. So, for Mimikyu, you just can't use the Focus Sash anymore, essentially.
I can't believe it, man. Like, I'll talk about this on future episodes when we get to fully dive into this format, but I think they found, like, eight different ways to just take down my 2017 Hard Trick Room team. And this is one of them, you know, 1/8 damage to the user when your disguise breaks. Yeah, it just completely invalidates Focus Sash on Mimikyu. They wanted to just, a Pokemon should not basically be able to have two Focus Sashes, is I guess the thought they were going for there. To be fair, if you had something like Grassy Terrain up, you might be able to, like, after two turns, restore that Focus Sash, or if you have Heal Pulse or whatever. Obviously not very viable or worthwhile strategies, but yeah, essentially Focus Sash is invalidated entirely on Mimikyu.
Yeah, that's too much work.
There's a bunch of other abilities on here that I think we're going to skip over. I'll just mention them really quick, but like Flash Fire, Harvest, Lightning Rod, Storm Drain, Super Luck, seems to have gotten some updates. But they like mostly just affect the wild Pokemon that you'll be encountering. And so, really, I think the remaining abilities that we're going to be talking about... Oh, no, there's Moody. So let's cover Moody first, because...
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Yeah, so Moody, it used to raise one stat sharply and lower another every other turn. And so a lot of people, I think they had teased that Moody was going to be nerfed when they were talking about the game pre-release. And everyone was thinking that they would change it to just +1/-1. But what they ended up doing was they actually removed evasion and accuracy boosts from the Moody pool, which, for better or for worse, I think mostly for better. However, for, say, a Pokemon like Moody Smeargle, it now means that Smeargle just has a higher chance to get that speed boost that sometimes can be ever so deadly. But overall, I think a slightly positive change.
Yeah, it really just increases those odds is for that. You know, it's a... Is that like a 1 in 5 now instead of the 1 in 7 to get that boost? So
1 in, yes, 5. Yeah.
So, yeah, not bad. Trying to just take out... those are just more luck factors playing into the game, so they tried to remove those. You still have... It's Moody, so that's still inherent in the whole thing. But, you know, that's nice to see that change. So anything that has it, especially like something like Smeargle, won't get that benefit as much anymore. That's all we really got about Moody, right? That's the big thing.
Yeah, that's all there is. And then now we have
oh my
Game Freak's knee-jerk reaction to Incineroar. Or honestly, you don't even have to say Incineroar. It could just be VGC as a whole, as we've seen every year. Intimidate is such a large ability, such an important ability. So they nerfed it on a lot of different abilities. Inner Focus, you know, prevents a flinch, also blocks Intimidate. Oblivious prevents you from being infatuated or taunted, also blocks Intimidate. Own Tempo means you cannot be confused or intimidated. Scrappy means that you can hit ghost type Pokemon with normal and fighting moves, and it blocks Intimidate. Rattled is a your speed is raised when you are hit by a dark ghost or bug move, and it also activates when the opponent switches in Intimidate. Okay,
wow.
Game Freak, I get it.
Yaza, so they've been paying attention a little bit. And so for Rattled, you're still going to drop your attack stat a little bit, but you do get a speed boost. So this could be useful on special attackers, for if anything has that, four of these older abilities got updated to now, like, prevent that Intimidate from working on you. Like, that's significant. Like, obviously they've been, watching this, and I can already think of a lot of, you know, previous Pokemon that have these that would really benefit from this a lot.
Yeah, there are so many. It's going to be really a great generation for physical attackers, just because, you know, they've always had Intimidate holding them down. Game Freak has never, like, released a VGC without Intimidate, and they've always been active in the format, some years more than others. So it's going to be really cool to see what physical attackers can do if they, you know, have these abilities.
Yeah, so that's really cool, and we can't really go into many more specifics about these anymore because we don't have many Pokemon to look at or talk about because I still need to work on my game. I'll have that done soon, hopefully.
Up your game, Steven.
I will.
Up your game.
I'm going to up it by making big Pokemon, Dynamax. That's
so the rest of the show, actually, I'm going to kind of just... I get your stupid joke.
Oh, you
so
love
the rest
that.
Of the show... I'm going to walk us through these last two things just because there are two things that basically I won. There was a weekly tournament held by Professor Shroomish, Zach Carlson, the man behind VGC stats. He ran an online tournament in Sword and Shield using an approximation of the new VGC format. We still do not have the rules. I partook in the tournament, and he's planning to host these all weekly. If you're like at all active on Twitter, you might have seen the tweet. It's already gotten like 1,000 likes and like half as many retweets or something. I got top 8 in that tournament. I had like 60 something people. And it was very fun. We will probably talk. I don't know how much we'll talk about it because it is just some kind of online weekly, especially since Zach is going to host them, weekly for the foreseeable future. They're going to kind of just add up and add up and add up. We'll see how many people they get. As long as they stay interesting or active, we might, you know, give them the spotlight. We'll see. And no promises, no empty promises, like Steven said.
That's right.
So
yeah, this is just a plug for the Galar Weekly, this tournament held.
Yes. So do go play in it because it was actually very fun and well run. And
Wait,
I had a great time.
How well did you do?
I ended up getting top 8.
Okay, not bad. Good stuff.
Top,
I was just curious.
Top 8 with a... I have not played any VGC up until that point, and then I was using a rental team from a friend.
Okay. Okay, not bad.
From the man who won the tournament. With the same team. So, fun. It was fun to try out a new strategy that seems to be very strong. It's actually very related to this next point that I'm going to talk to Steven about that he is unaware of, but... it's something that I'm going to explain to him. I personally don't think it's a spoiler just because it is not something that you will learn about through normal gameplay unless you are very attentive. There's nothing in the game that actually explains it to you, and it is the new doubles speed mechanics.
And this is
does not affect those that play singles, but Showdown is currently still working on programming this because it is kind of crazy. But yeah, wait, what were you seeing, Steven? Do you have a guess?
And I was just going to say, this is just a competitive mechanic, not really anything story mechanic or story point.
Unless you got some kind of interesting strategies for, like, the battle tower or for any in-game double battles that you might partake in. Essentially, Steven, let me tell you now. The way that speed is calculated has now been changed to, they look at speed at the... basically the end of every Pokemon's turn. So,
okay.
For example, if you have a very, very fast Pokemon go for Tailwind, let's say you have a 100 speed Pokemon that knows Tailwind, your opponent has a 80 speed and a 60 speed Pokemon, and then your second Pokemon is a 50 speed Pokemon. There are no items or abilities active here. Your 100 speed Pokemon goes for Tailwind. Next in the order, since Tailwind applies on the next turn, would normally be that 80 speed Pokemon. They have now changed it so that the Tailwind boost applies immediately on that turn. So then, after the Tailwind is set, the game recalculates and says who is now fastest. This 50 speed Pokemon is now essentially 100 speed because the Tailwind has doubled its speed. It is next in the order.
Wait, this is mid-turn?
Mid-turn speed updates.
Oh my gosh! What? So, like, Trick Room could do the same thing?
Yes, but no.
No? Okay.
Because Trick Room is still negative priority.
Okay, right. Tailwind is just a standard priority, unless it's on Prankster, but... wow! Oh my gosh,
So, Steven, this also applies to the normal max move, which lowers the speed of both your opponents.
Uh-huh.
The fly max move, which raises your speed, moves like Icy Wind, Thunder Wave. If any of these are applied to the Pokemon, that change the turn order, they will be applied immediately.
Wow, so this feels like that. Remember that crazy Gen 3 mechanic we just talked about for Journey Across America? Where Pokemon change mid, if you get knocked out, you send your Pokemon in mid-turn. Mid-turn, like, wow, it feels very similar to that, except for your speed. Holy moly.
And so, one of the things that I was abusing in this new tournament is that I had a very fast Pokemon set Tailwind, and then a very strong Pokemon that is middling speed take out their fast Pokemon before they could move. Because normally they would be very fast, and they would be faster than my middling strong Pokemon. But my strong Pokemon got to use its move at essentially prankster priority, because, that's just how the new speed mechanics work.
Wow, that is crazy. Gosh, like, I knew there was going to take a lot of, like, relearning to do when the game comes out, because you never know what kind of changes they're going to make, but this is so different than what we're used to. Like, this could take a while to learn.
And it can take a while to program. I am normally a pretty large advocate for Showdown. When you come to new generations, it is best to, you know, play it as much as you want for fun. But in terms of serious practice, you know, play the in-game as much as you can. Because those mechanics are going to take a while to be caught up to. But this is something so large that I don't want to, you know, advocate against Showdown. But I have not touched Showdown at all just because it doesn't have these speed mechanics up yet. They don't affect singles in any kind of way. You see what I mean now, Steven?
Yes, I do. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, because, you know, if they recalculate the turn order, there's only two Pokemon. The order is always going to be the same. But, yeah, now this changes the game for doubles, and I'm sure that, you know, the people behind Showdown are doing all kinds of programming to get this to work, because there's a lot going into this, and it's going to make VGC a completely new game. I was telling Steven that I think it is bigger than Dynamax. I think that this new thing is bigger than Dynamax.
Like, based on what I'm hearing here, like, for the first time, like, this is, like, I've been getting so many just, you know, those regular Twitter update notifications about, you know, people posted things or tweeted this, and I've just avoided them to avoid spoilers for myself. So I've been off Twitter for the last, whatever, since Sword and Shield came out. Actually, 2 weeks or 3 weeks since those leaks first came out. But my gosh, this is big. Like, this is going to take some while to get used to. And, like, you can come up with several different strategies just utilizing this new, the way the speed's going to work now. So that's all I got to say is, wow, I am shocked by this revelation at this moment. And I'm still just trying to wrap my head around this and, like, how much I might have to change about, you know, the way we think about how we play and how we play.
Yeah, so normally when you go into a turn, you know that once you get to a point in the metagame and then all information is kind of standardized, or, you know, you've played enough of the battle or you're in game 2 or 3, you familiarize with the turn order of the game and you know that, oh, this Pokemon is going to go first, second, third, and fourth. However, there are all kinds of different things that will recalculate the speed mid-turn, switches to abilities like that reactivate Swift Swim. You can actually turn Swift Swim off mid-turn so that, like, if they had, like, a Swift Swim Pokemon and a Rain Pokemon on the field, that Swift Swim Pokemon would normally go first. If you switch to a Sandstream Pokemon and your other Pokemon is faster than the Swift Swim Pokemon, it will be faster and go first, and it can just knock it out before it moves.
Holy smokes, man. Like, I can't believe this. This is crazy.
So now you have to understand that there are a lot more. I don't want to say if it's more or less. I want to say it is more, though. A lot more options, or just maybe very different options than we've ever had present in the VGC. This is so new.
Yeah, very new, like, as well as throwing on new Pokemon, new moves, new mechanics on us all at once. This is going to be a lot to learn. Holy wow.
Yeah. So, that I think is going to be it for us. We'll talk more and we'll have less just wow reactions and hopefully more in-depth conversation about it next time, because I'm still, you know, in the same boat as Steven. There's still a lot to learn about these. I feel like we learned about them, I think, less than a week ago, and it is just shaken VGC.
Yeah, this is very surprising. Like, and this legitimately isn't my first time hearing about this, because, you know, I've avoided all the Twitter spoiler stuff, and wow, oh boy.
I'm so glad that
my head's kind of spinning right now. I'm glad you saved this like for the show reveal.
Yeah, I was really excited to tell you about it, and I told Steven off air beforehand. I was like, so you don't know about it, then I'm just gonna tell you live, because it's just gonna be more fun that way. So
yeah, like I wonder, like gosh, I hope some of our listeners don't get confused by this either. This isn't the first time you're hearing about this too. Maybe it is. That'd be kind of interesting. But anyway, this is going to be a lot to talk about, new strategies, new things coming up in the world of competitive Pokemon for Sword and Shield. Whew!
That is one thing, Steven, and I can promise about the next time, about next episode. So next time, stay tuned for more Sword and Shield, because we have lots to talk about.
Yeah, that's guaranteed. Like, all right. But yeah, Sword and Shield. Wow, what a game. What a time. This is going to be quite a new, this is going to be quite a format we have coming up for us in 2020. January 4th, just around the corner, you know, it's going to come so much faster than we think. Anyway, that's our show for the week. And remember, you can find our show in a variety of different places. And you can find us on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. Please leave us a review in those places. It helps with visibility for others to discover our show. Now, we're at a very critical point for competitive Pokemon right before that big transition over to the Switch, you know, officially for competitive play. We've got our email where you can send us feedback, comments, and questions. That is vgchypervoice@gmail.com. We really appreciate those. We try to incorporate those into the show as much as possible. And remember, you can also tell your friends about our show. If you think this is something they might enjoy about competitive Pokemon, please let them know about it. And you can also find our show on Facebook and on Twitter, at the Hypervoice for those accounts. Now, lastly, I just want to say, happy Thanksgiving to all those who are celebrating that this week. It is, you know, that time of year already. So I just want to say I'm very thankful for having Alex here on the show with me today.
Oh, and I'm thankful to be talking about Pokemon VGC with you, Steven.
Yeah, glad to be here. So that's our show. I've said that already. But you can also find the two of us personally on Twitter as well. You can find me at Super Morioka. And Alex, where can people follow you?
You can follow me at LexiconVGC.
All right. We'll more Galar. Wow. Coming up, eh?
Yeah, I'm actually right now Googling more Britishisms to see if I remember any of the other ones from in the game. I only remember Chinwag.
Yeah, I did see a lot of them during the playthrough, but you know, didn't remember most of them because it's just like not my normal way I talk. So
no, and so you just catch on to it. So
yeah.
Anyway, I'm just gonna have to stick with my normal outro. So yeah, Alola.
Thank you all so much for listening to the show. We hope you enjoyed it. Stay tuned for more of the Hypervoice.